John chapter 17, verses 6 through 20. This is God's holy word. I have revealed your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you have given them to me, and they have followed your word. Now they have come to know that everything which you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but on the behalf of those whom you have given me, because they are yours. And all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer going to be in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, so that they may be one, just as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished except the son of destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them away from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I am not asking on behalf of these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word. Thus far, God's holy, inspired, and infallible word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray again. Father, now prepare our hearts, open them to receive what you have for us, and help us to take that word by your help and grace, and to use it in all of our lives, especially as we speak with others of how wonderful and caring and magnificent you are in all that you do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is our last stop in the Upper Room Discourse, and we are at the 17th chapter of John, and this chapter is also known as Jesus' High Priestly Prayer, but some have insisted that we call it the real Lord's Prayer. Bob was mentioning that to me earlier. This the real Lord's Prayer. Why? Because the Our Father, which we said together earlier, is more for our use, not his use. But this is his prayer to the Father on behalf of his people. John 17 is, as we say, largely an intercessory prayer. And when you intercede, that means you're asking for someone else or for some situation that needs the Lord's attention. So the Lord is interceding on behalf of, first of all, these 11 men who are with him in the upper room. Judas, of course, having departed. But also he's praying for all disciples, as verse 20 would indicate. He says, I'm praying not only for these, but for those who will believe because of the word that they speak, the word that I have given to them. In the opening verses of the 17th chapter, which I did not print for you, Jesus addresses God the Father and asks that the glory of God would be seen in him and in his disciples. And then at the end of the chapter, I also did not include that as well, not because it's not worth including, but again, our space is somewhat limited. But at the end of the chapter, he prays for unity among those who are his disciples. as they carry out the work of the gospel. So our main concentration today is in verses 6 through 20 of this 17th chapter of John. Now, I've phrased these points today in terms of how Jesus is praying in this intercessory prayer. He says, may his disciples be faithful bearers of the word of God. May his disciples be faithful bearers of the word of God. Because that's going to be their calling. That is the work to which he's called them. And then he will ask, may God guard them lest the wicked world swallow them up. Thirdly, may they have fruitful interaction with this alien world. Not being a part of it, but interacting with it. And then finally, he says, Father, sanctify them so that the truth will prevail everywhere. So those are our main points this morning. All right, may his disciples be faithful bearers of the word of God. Now, in some of these opening verses here, from 6 through 8 especially, he talks about how the Father has chosen certain ones and given them to him. I have revealed your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. In the first place, God has chosen them for salvation and has given them to his Son. And all who have been chosen by the Lord have been chosen to represent the Lord. The Apostle Paul said, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are appealing to people to be reconciled to God. But chosen for salvation. And the prayer that Jesus makes here is a prayer for all those whom God has chosen. First, that they will come to the Lord. And then secondly, that having come to the Lord, that they may live their lives for him in the way that God wants those lives to be lived. Now, in addition to having been chosen for salvation, they are men chosen to initiate the spread of the gospel. Again, if you go back to the end where Jesus says there will be people who believe because of the word that they give forth. But there are also other passages here that talks about the work of these men to go out into the world and to represent the Lord in the world. So that this is a chapter that certainly has a missionary quality to it, does it not? The Lord is saying, these have been chosen, you've saved them, and you've also chosen them to be my representatives, and I pray for them. And because the Father did answer this prayer, these apostles were those who put together the scriptures. They may not have been every one of them a writer of scripture, but they all contributed together to the writing of the word of God that we have in the New Testament. They are those chosen to initiate the spread of the gospel. They were chosen specifically to bear a certain kind of testimony, and that is that Jesus was sent from the Father. There will be people who will say all kinds of nice things about Jesus, that he was a great teacher, that he was a man to be looked to, that he exercised wonderful qualities that we should follow by way of his example. And all of that's true to a certain extent, of course. But they will not confess that Jesus came from the Father, that he came down from heaven, that he is indeed God the Son who has taken flesh and dwells among us. But these disciples, as the initiators of the gospel, as those who will put together the word and see that it is sent forth, they are those who testify that God has come in the flesh, that the Lord Jesus was sent from the Father, and that the words that he spoke to them are true words. For never in their lives and in their experience with him did they ever find that he gave them anything false or any reason to doubt. They, of course, needed the Holy Spirit to come to such conclusions. Nevertheless, they bear witness. Jesus came from God, and his words are true. Listen to him. which is exactly what God said at Jesus' baptism, what he said on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son, listen to him, believe his words. And then he goes further. He says that they have, or will soon have, all the knowledge that Jesus once communicated to mankind. You'll not find that knowledge anywhere else, but you will find it in the apostles of the Lord. You will find it in those who were with him or those who met him in other circumstances, such as the apostle Paul. They have all the knowledge. Don't look for knowledge outside that. If someone comes and says, yes, you have the New Testament, you have the apostolic writers, and we have something else to add to that. We have another person or another prophet or another one. And you stay away from that kind of thing, because all the knowledge, everything that needs to be known, or as Peter says in one of his letters, everything that's necessary for life and godliness, they've all been given through the apostolic witness, through these men. So the Lord Jesus is here praying, interceding that these men, and then those to whom they pass on their knowledge and understanding, that they will bear faithfully the word of God. They won't add or take away from it, but they will present what Jesus wanted them to have. And in a sense, he's praying for us in that way too. Help all my people to stick with the words that I've spoken, the words that I've given to them, the interpretations of the Old Testament that they have also. Help them to rest their lives, their faith, their hopes, everything on what has been given through those that the Lord has called. His faithful earlier prophets and now apostles, disciples, may they bear this word faithfully in the world. Now, why is he interceding so intensely, so purposefully here? Because there will be all kinds of people who want to take away from what they have to say, as we kind of mentioned before. But Jesus says, no, may they be faithful in all that I have given to them. Lord, you began this whole thing by choosing them. Now keep them right in the way, and let others then be confident that you're keeping those to whom you've committed your word and those who will receive that word also. So may his disciples be faithful bearers of the word of God. Now secondly, in his prayer, may God guard them lest the wicked world swallow them up. They're going to face opposition. Opposition from those who are not interested in the things of God, those who only want their own self-righteousness and not that provided by Christ, those who would like to change the direction that God wants to go with his purposes. And so the Lord Jesus here earnestly prays that they'll not be overwhelmed, because they're kind of, at least at this point, and I think probably still today, in a minority. There are all kinds of numbers in the world about who's Christian and who's not, and so forth. But I think those who have the true faith, who really believe in the things that Jesus put forth and the apostolic word, they're not in the majority in the world. And it's easy to think they're going to be overwhelmed by all the opposition. Now let's say this. When Jesus says here, I don't pray for the whole world, I just pray for them. He's not saying don't pray for the whole world. He's simply saying, when it comes to the transmission of the truth, I'm praying for them. I'm not praying for some philosopher over here or some movement over there. I'm praying for them. So don't stop praying for the world. Pray the world will be saved. Pray the world will come to Jesus. Pray that the world will find the truth in the midst of a lot of untruth, in the midst of a lot of misdirection. Pray that people will find the truth in the Lord Jesus Christ. But keep praying for the world in that way. But pray especially for the care and protection of believers. When we go to prayer, we always ought to say, Lord, you have your people all over the world and they're under attack. And they're tempted to give in, to convert to some other religion or something like that. Lord, hold them faithful, hold them true. What this intercessory prayer of Jesus is a prayer for separation, that is, keep them separate from this wicked world and protect them from this wicked world. Where evil demands their surrender, help them to say, never. We will never surrender. And of course, we never surrender not because we're happy to go down in flames, but because the Lord is victorious. The Lord is going to win. If you're on His side, you're on the right side, the winning side. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. But Lord, as these pressures and this situation exists in the world, keep them in Your care. And He's praying for us. He's praying for us today in that same way. Lord, keep them from surrendering. He has been their protector. Now we're talking about Jesus and the 11 disciples. He's been their protector for these years that they've been with Him. They've traveled up and down from Galilee to Judea. They've crossed the river on the other side of the Jordan. They've been among people like the Samaritans who did not like them and were very hostile toward them. But He's protected them. He's kept them. And of course, Satan has been around to try to get at them and draw them away. In the case of Judas, that of course was something ordained from before the foundation of the world. But nevertheless, that's why Jesus is praying. Don't let them follow in Judas's path to go that direction. He's been with them. And now He's going away. The first thing He said in the upper room, more or less, was that He's going away. And so they need another protector. They need someone to keep them. Now Jesus will be their protector in terms of the intercession that He makes, the prayer that He makes, because even when He's ascended on high, He's still praying. He's still ever living to make intercession, the Scripture says, for them. But they also need something here and now, because they're very vulnerable. He prays that they will receive from the Father on high everything they need to stand firm, to never give in. Now, in the last chapter, in chapter 16, we already have the one great helper that they need in Jesus' physical absence, and that is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to empower them and keep them and give them the words to say and help them to resist. And James in his letter says, resist the devil and what? He'll flee from you. He'll flee from you. But the Holy Spirit gives grace, gives help to do that. But the Lord is going to work by the Holy Spirit and by the interceding of the Father. And when I say interceding here, I'm not talking about prayer, but His intervention, maybe that's a better word, His intervention in the lives of people, in history, in circumstances, even in the very hearts of people. God is in control. God will look after His people. So the wicked world would like to swallow them up, either get them to surrender or wipe them out. But Jesus says, don't let either one of those things happen. May they not be swallowed up by the world. May they not be converted to wickedness. But may they stand firm and faithful. And He says, I'll never stop praying for them in that regard until we're all together in heaven someday. Then the third thing in the prayer is, may they have fruitful, I want to underline the word fruitful, may they have fruitful interaction with this alien world. Now, this will be a challenge. Why? Because they're not of the world. How many times here in the passage does it say, they're not of the world? And yet, somehow they've got to get along, they've got to interact, they've got to live their lives. In some cases, it'll be very difficult. There'll be times, and maybe it's coming upon us, I don't know, when if you say you're a Christian, you can't buy something. You can't sell something. You can't have this kind of job. You can't do some other thing. However, whatever happens, and I guess in most cases, we can say that we can go to the store, we can buy things, we can live our lives, but help them, Lord, to have interactions with the world that will be fruitful. And what kind of fruit? And that is that people, first of all, will come to see that God is at work in the world. And then, of course, for their conversions. And that there will be at least more Christian influence in the world. And many people coming to true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what did Jesus Himself do He had a place in heaven. He had the glory of heaven. But he came down and took flesh among us. He intervened. He came in to the situation. And that's what we're really charged to do. As we're allowed to, as the Lord makes a way for it to happen, we can be in the world. So we can go to work and we can have a person on our right, a person on our left. They're not Christians, but we can interact with them and we can witness for the Lord to them. And we can show them the peace and the joy and the strength that we have in the Lord. So may they have fruitful interaction with this world. But we must say to ourselves as we go out into the world, I am not running away from these situations. I'm not going to hide myself among these people, but I am going to become a part of their lives as God will give grace to do that. And then you see at that point, the devil comes in and he tries to mess up that situation, that interaction, that fruitful interaction with the world. And so what does the Lord Jesus pray? He says, keep them from the evil one. I'm praying this prayer that you'll keep them from the evil one. And he means when Satan comes to attack, when Satan seeks to undermine those situations, when he tempts you to give in and to compromise, when he turns people against you, when all kinds of evil things come upon you from the devil's hand, that you're able to come through that victoriously, to come through that by the grace of God, still faithful to the Lord, still bearing an effective witness for him. But have no doubt, Satan will try to stop you. He will try to prevent your interaction, your living separately and yet with those around you. I don't pray, he says, that you take them out of the world. How more specific can the Lord Jesus be than to say, I don't pray that you take them out of the world. No, the corollary there is I pray that you'll keep them in the world. But in this way of witness and that you will use them, Lord, to bring about those three things that the Holy Spirit is seeking to do. To bring the world under conviction for sin, righteousness, and judgment. And I won't take time to go into all that again. But that's the Holy Spirit's work. And he's not directing that essentially at Christians, but at the world. And how is he going to get at the world? Through you. Through your witness. Through your interaction. So again, the Lord Jesus is praying for you. He's praying that you'll be faithful to the Word of God. He's praying that the wicked world will not swallow you up. And he's praying that you'll have fruitful interaction in the world. And then finally, he says, Father, sanctify them so that the truth will prevail everywhere. Now we have to be careful here because the way Jesus uses the word sanctify them is a little different than we often think about it. Usually we think about sanctification, that means we're growing in holiness. We're becoming more like Jesus. And that is the first thing to think about when we talk about sanctification. But here the word really is used in a way that means consecrate them. Consecrate them. Make them committed to all that I've called them to do. Never let them compromise the truth. Sanctify them where? In the truth. We come right back to where we started. That there are people who would like to say, well, that's true, but then here's another thing, and here's another thing. When it's just what Jesus said that must be kept pure and defended. Never water down the gospel. Consecrate them, Lord. He says, I've consecrated myself. Well, he doesn't need sanctification in the sense of not sinning. He never sinned to begin with. But he does mean, help me to be committed to the work and let them also be committed to the work, consecrated in that sense, that to know what their real calling is. May they never betray the trust that Jesus has given to them. Why? Because they're consecrated to that. They've been set apart to that. May they practice what they preach, to put it in our vernacular. And that's where you and I really need to be put on the spot here. Do we practice what we preach? We talk about Jesus. We talk about living for Jesus. We talk about godly lives. But do we practice what we preach? And then we say, oh, I fail so often to do that. How am I going ever to really live up to this? Well, you have someone praying for you. You have someone making intercession for you. You have someone, not just any ordinary person, but the Son of God himself saying, Lord, sanctify them, consecrate them Help them to stay true to you. Help them to practice what they preach. This is a wonderful reminder, this chapter, that we're never out of the Lord's thoughts. We're never out of the Lord's attention. He wants us to serve Him. And we need help. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the blessings and the downpouring of the grace of God upon our lives. And Jesus is praying for that to happen. He prayed it for these 11, and He prays it for us as well today. Let's pray ourselves. Now, Lord, we come before You and we ask You, please, Lord, to work in our lives so that we're the people You want us to be. If it were just up to us, Lord, we would fail You every moment. But we have someone interceding in our behalf. Someone who's already sent the Holy Spirit to us. Someone who is asking the Father to control things and ordain things on our behalf and on behalf of those who will hear our word. And we do pray, Lord, that we may be conscious of this and that we may always be thankful. Among all the things that we're thankful for at this time, may we be thankful truly for the intercession of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.